Shout hallelujah, praise God, that you're here. You're the same God who was with us in 2016, and now you're here with us in 2017. Praise be to God. Speak to our hearts and continue to receive our praise and worship. In Christ's name, amen. Well, if you look at your sermon notes, our scriptorial passage, of course, is from Matthew's Gospel. And the title of my sermon for the beginning of 2017 is this: The Wisdom to Worship. The Wisdom to Worship. Look to your neighbor and say, the wisdom to worship. Yeah, the wisdom to worship. And you are here, ready to worship a God who continues to love us over and over again. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised. With the excitement and the dawn of a new year, every year, we have what we call what? New Year resolutions. New Year resolutions. An opportunity for us to look and reflect upon what we so desire to accomplish this year that we didn't accomplish last year. It is a benchmark. Goals and aspirations are good to have. It helps keep us focused. Now, there are times when we don't accomplish our goals and we have to be reminded a little bit, and it's a little sensitivity even when we know truly within that we didn't measure up to our own aspirations and goals. But yet God is faithful. He gives us another year to get it right. Amen. And I don't know about you, but 2016 is the best year I've ever experienced. And I'm looking forward to 2018 because God is good. Amen. Amen. Well, it has well been said. The question of the year will be this question as it relates to the new year and how New Year's resolutions fall into three categories. Number one. What is that number one? Longevity. Longevity. Long life. Dr. Martin Luther King said it so well. He said, longevity has its place. And we look for longevity and we do things to continue to help us to improve as it relates to taking care of our bodies and what goes in our bodies and what comes out of our bodies and to maintain our health. And many people join the beginning of the year a gym, some type of gym, saying they're going to exercise, they're going to get it together and get physically in shape and all of that. And you look forward to exercising. You look forward to walking, even some by a Fitbit. And they become competitive even in wearing their Fitbit against their family members or friends to stay in shape, to continue to move with enthusiasm and joy, to be available for the Lord. It definitely deals with our mind, our bodies, and our souls. But yet, then, there's a bump in the road. You start going to the gym extremely well during the first 3 months, and then what happens later on? You kind of lag behind. Then, during the summertime, you say you're too busy because you're visiting all these relatives who decided to come to church the first Sunday of the new year, so you won't have time in the summer. And then the fall comes, and then we have a good excuse, and we say what? It's a little too cold outside. And then, during the latter part of the year, and it happened to me, you run into people who you worship with on Sunday, and they see you in the back door, and now all that guilt come on your face when you know you haven't been to the gym for 2 or 3 months. I have members who remind me, Kevin, I haven't seen you this morning. I hadn't seen you all week. You didn't come to the gym. And yet, I don't feel bad, because when I look in the mirror and see this nice, attractive body, God is just good. Amen. Amen. Don't let anyone rain on your parade. Amen? Amen. Longevity has its place. The next point as it relates to the new year is what? Prosperity. All of us desire to have more resources, more funds, more money. And it's nothing wrong with having money. And yet we must remember that God wants us to be good stewards and to give our tithes and offerings back to God and to give to others. And then when we kind of, you know, mess that up, we depend on family members or friends to help us out too often. Hello. Then we need to learn how to manage our money. And here at our church, we're going to have on January the 8th, we're going to have once again the Dave Ramsey Financial Peace Course. And look straight at me because I'm going to say something. If you have family members or friends who continue to borrow and never pay, look at me, borrow and never pay back, then you need them to be a part of the Financial Peace Workshop. It's right there in your bulletin in the insert. That way they can become better stewards and continue to learn how to give, because you cannot live without giving. Amen? It's important. Longevity has its place. Prosperity has its place. And then lastly, what is it? Sensitivity. Don't look to the right of you or the left of you or in front of you or behind you, but some people are just too sensitive. And sensitivity runs around this world, and we have to be aware of situations that are going on in our world and have to know that we live in a diverse and global world, and we have to be sensitive to the needs of others. Some people during the course of this year are looking forward to losing weight, looking forward to stop drinking, looking forward to stop smoking, and any other thing we can add on. You have to be careful. You have to pray for them, that they continue to rise above the occasion as it relates to the area that we all need to improve in. Because all of us in here are bad. It's just some of us are worse than others. All come from the same mold. It's just some of us a little moldier than others. But all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Amen. And so if you look at the bullet point sermon notes, you'll see the first question is this question. What will this year be like for me? I'm not talking about my neighbor, not talking about my friend, not talking about my spouse. What will this year be for me? Look inwardly and ask yourself that question. Now look outwardly. Repeat these words after me. What will this year be like for me? For me. It was in 1854. Frances Haugel had the desire to be a great author. She wanted to come to the United States. She wanted to be an author that people would know all around the world. And so at the beginning of the new year, she sat down and she decided she put these words down on paper. Later on, they became a hymn. And listen to these words. Maybe they'll speak to you now. Another year is dawning, dear Father. Let it be on earth or else in heaven, another year with thee. Let me read that again. Another year is dawning. Dear Father, let it be on earth or else in heaven, another year with thee. She didn't know those words were going to minister to her a few days later. She had invested all of her resources with a publishing company. A few days later, she received a telegram that company had filed for bankruptcy. She lost it all. But guess what? She decided that she wasn't going to allow that to rain on her parade. She started writing and sharing the goodness of God with others. And she decided that she would just go ahead and just bask in God's glory and give God the praises and joy. And she worshiped God and she became a great writer. Not so much in the United States, but around the world. There's no secret what God can do, what he's done for others. Hallelujah. He'll do for you. Well, this year, like we do every year, our church is participating in reading a proverb a day. And our first proverb for January 1 is Proverbs 1. Because we need more wisdom. Look at your sermon notes. The next question is this question as it relates to wisdom. What is wisdom? I'm glad you asked. Here's a definition. Wisdom is often defined as the ability to make godly choices. Godly choices. We look at our young people and we pray for them and we continue to congratulate them and encourage them and we want them to make godly choices, but that fits all of us. We all need to make godly choices. How do I know? I read Proverbs chapter 1 and Proverbs 1 verse 7. We have these words. Start with God. The first step in learning is to bow down to God. Only fools thumb their noses at such wisdom and learning. That's from the Message Bible. We should pray. We should bow down and worship God. I read another little, you know how they sell those things that they want you to buy from Cracker Barrel? It was a beautiful, too cheap to buy it. It was $25, so I remember right. It said, when you cannot stand, then bow. When you cannot stand in 2017, then bow on your knees and worship God. Look at this picture. Even the dog is praying. Even the dog is praying to God. Wisdom. We all need wisdom. We all need to seek wisdom each and every day. How many of you, while you were traveling along to come to church this morning, how many of you followed that star from the east? By a show of hands. You didn't see a star. Perhaps some of you had recall how to get to the church. Some of you probably had to use the GPS system. Or even receive it by way of a text message, but you're here. Think of the wise men. Look at this text unfolding. The Magi. They came from the east. The distance between Jerusalem and Bethlehem is 5 miles southwest. They were willing to travel. They were willing to follow the star. Now, you look at the text, and the text very explicitly sets it up extremely well. Because if you follow the Bible closely and follow the nativity story, you will notice that it's Luke who gives us that long discourse as it relates to Mary conceiving within her womb, chapter 1. And having that encounter with her cousin Elizabeth. And then chapter 2, we read Joseph comes on the scene as well. And Mary and Joseph have no place for the birth of the Savior, the Christ child. And we hear the words from Luke chapter 2 in the 7th verse. There were no room in the inn. But look at Matthew. Matthew takes a whole different look. Matthew, his story deals more with the Magi, the wise men coming from the east. It deals with them traveling afar, going to find the newborn king. Now, mind you, it doesn't take long. Just look at Matthew, the 2nd chapter, and the first 2 verses, and you'll see it was another king who was on the throne, but he was not a descendant of David. It wasn't in his bloodline. He was known as King Herod. And King Herod was a ruler who continued to be cruel. So much so, history tells us Caesar Augustus comes along and he shares in history that he would rather be one of the hogs of King Herod than one of his sons. You remember he killed three of his sons. He heard the news about a newborn king, king of the Jews, and he was upset. He was frustrated. He had nothing but pride in him and all through him. And he inquired by these magi to go and search diligently. That's the King James translation. And when you have found him, let me know that I too may worship. Look at verse 8 of the second chapter of Matthew's gospel. That I too may worship him. That was a lie, lie, lie. He was not looking to worship him. He didn't even call Jesus a king. He referred to him as a child. But thanks be to God, these magi were being guided by God's light. Herod was being guided by pride. You read closely as it relates to the Bible and the Word of God in Proverbs. We know that what pride goes first, but what's behind a pride? A fall. Herod had so much pride. God had opened the lights and pulled back the curtains and presented the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords right in his presence. And yet he would not bow down and worship him. What's in your way? What's in my way in 2017? What will present you? What will present me from worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Look at these magi. Willing to pay the price, willing to travel afar to find the newborn king. The biblical setting of the text need to be explained. No longer is Jesus in a baby crib, in a stable. Biblical scholars would say that he was around the age of 2 or 3 years old when they found him. But look, these magi did not arrive empty-handed, nor should we come to worship empty-handed. These magi had searched diligently to find the newborn king. And they, when they found him, the Bible says they had nothing but what? Joy. Nothing but joy. With exceeding joy, they were excited that they found him, so much so they have three chests. Now look here, you might want to write this down. Sometimes called the what? Three arts. This image represents the gift that the Magi brought to Jesus. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They worshiped him with joy. I hope you have joy in your heart as you continue to worship Jesus throughout the year. And you heard me say this before. Some people bring joy when they leave a room. And some people bring joy when they enter a room. These wise men had nothing but joy, but yet they brought three gifts. Look at these three gifts. The first gift, gold. Gold. In biblical history, if one was a king, and born a king and part of the royal family, that person would receive gold. Gold was that traditional gift. You know how we give gifts? And sometimes the gifts goes on and on. It's the same gift all the time. You fathers know exactly what I'm talking about. You have so many ties over and over again. Amen. They received gold to recognize him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is royalty. He comes from God. And then the second was frankincense. Frankincense was used by the priests. What did priests do? I'm glad you asked. Priests connected people to God. Just like a preacher, just like a reverend who's a professor, just like a certified lay minister. connects us to God. In fact, let me just explain this to you, because you probably didn't notice when you looked in the mirror this morning. If you believe in Jesus, we all are part of the priesthood. The priesthood of all believers. You just read the Bible. It reminds us that we're all part of the priesthood of believers, how we should connect people to God. Frankincense. The priest would go ahead and allow the aroma to go up to God, for the people to worship God, for God to be worshiped, and he's worthy to be worshiped. Amen? And then lastly, myrrh. Myrrh. They would give to this baby myrrh. We would call it today embalming fluid. And yes, that gift was given to a baby. No one, no grandparent in here, no parent gave a gift of myrrh to a baby. But this baby is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he receives myrrh because it reminds us that he was born to die in order that you and I may be born again. Hallelujah. Look at the gifts. Remember, we're to give in order to live. It is a great reminder that the Magi's were willing. They were willing to follow the star. Star of wonder, star of night, star of royal beauty, what? Bright. Westward leading, still proceeding, guide me to thy perfect light. It was joy, it was worship, and then it was praise. They were willing to give him all of that in the forms of those gifts in order to give God total praise. There's name recognition. When we hear names after names, it makes us immediately turn our heads. You think of it for a moment. If your spouse calls your name, you'll pay attention. Linda. Look at that. She paid attention and looked at me. She was looking down. Amen. Yeah. If you call the name Queen Elizabeth, it gets our attention. If you call the name President Barack Obama, it gets our attention. If you call the name President-elect Donald Trump, it gets our attention. If you call the names of great stars and athletes, it gets our attention. And we look at them, but guess what? We don't worship them. But if you call the name of Jesus, every knee shall what? Bow. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. He should be Lord of our lives, Lord of our homes, Lord over our family. Jesus Christ should be Lord. But what should I give to a Savior? Look at your neighbor and ask the last question. What gifts? What gift do you give a Savior? You give a Savior your body, your mind, your soul, to connect people with God. For example, we have one who has stepped out among us. Not that she's perfect, not that she's going to walk on water, but she's responding to the call of God on her life. And it's through Jesus' name that all of us can be used by God if we follow the wisdom of worshiping him. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. He's worthy to be praised. At this time, Beverly, will you come? You and Gordon and all of our clergy, will you come at this time as well, as we ask Beverly to kneel and we consecrate her at this time. And our lay leader is coming as well. And our clergy who are in the balcony are coming very quickly. Yeah, I don't think he heard me. Gordon, you and your family, please come forward.
Children.
Now, Gordon was getting ready to take a picture. So if you have your camera out, want to help with the cell phones or however, if you have a camera, Come on, take the picture and help assist Gordon. Where are our tech folks who know how to take good pictures and all? I see Pat got our camera out. Any others? All right. All right. Let us lay hands on Beverly. Well, I better do this right, unless all this gonna fall. All right. A certified lay minister has been examined, or should be examined, by the church. This examination has already taken place. And the church acknowledged what God has called Beverly to share and to do. To share the good news and to teach the good news and to continue to lead God's people in a close connection with Him. This Bible is a reminder that this is God's Word. And it's this Bible as a gift that the church gives to you, Beverly, as we celebrate this special moment with you. Let us prepare our hearts to pray. And I'm going to ask Tony, our photographer, if you could come around here, you can get a better picture, Tony. All right. Let us join hands and hearts all over the sanctuary as we pray. Gracious Holy One, we thank you for this moment of celebration and love. We thank you for your daughter, Beverly. We thank you for her responding to the call that you have placed upon her life. Continue to be with her. Continue to speak a fresh word from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet. We ask your continued steadfastness. Rest and rule and abide with her that no weapon formed against her may prosper. Consecrate us as a church as we continue to undergird and support her. Continue to be with the clergy who have placed their hands upon Beverly's shoulders and ask that you continue to be with her family. Continue to let her know that the weight of the world is not upon her, but it is upon you. And so we cast our cares upon you, knowing that you care for us. Continue to guide and protect us as your people, as we give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. God bless you and keep you. All right, there you go.